This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Some of you may not be aware of this, some of you might be aware of this, but today a lot of churches are celebrating Pentecostal Sunday. Now that's, you know, a lot of churches are celebrating this, and this is the day where a lot of Christian churches celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. And I'm going to say this, God doesn't want the church powerless. God wants you powerful. Do you believe that today? So the Holy Spirit has given the church and empowered the church to operate victorious every day. So really, really, you don't lack power. You just need more of the Holy Ghost working in your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, I believe that this message is going to enlighten some of you, get you stirred up, get you excited about the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say this, that you know, there's three baptisms. And the first baptism is when you get saved, you get baptized. To be baptized is to be immersed into water. But when you get saved, you're immersed into the body of Christ. You're baptized into the body of Christ when you receive Jesus. Number two, once you receive Jesus, you should get water baptized. I want to encourage you. We do water baptisms. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been water baptized, get water baptized. Amen. Following the footsteps of Jesus, he got water baptized. Amen. And then there's a third baptism that I'm going to be focusing on this morning, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of church understands the first baptism. They know about salvation. They know about water baptism. But there's still a lot of people and a lot of church that don't know about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on a person's life. And so hopefully today you're going to get some revelation and you're going to move into greater. How many people want to move into greater power? I don't know about you. I want to move into greater power. But sometimes in our walk, we feel powerless as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt powerless? You wanted to witness, but you were too nervous to do that. And sometimes we encounter problems in our lives and we don't know how to pray for that situation. Well, the Holy Spirit will help us in that area. Sometimes we feel burned out in our walk with God and we need a touch from the Lord. Anybody ever felt burned out in here? Tired, burned out? Well, the Holy Spirit can help you out. Amen. Sometimes my wife is smiling over there like, yeah, I feel burned out at times. Amen. She's a teacher. Glory to God. And the students put her through the ringer. Amen. Amen. So sometimes we can feel burned out, but there is a solution. There's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we walk in, we don't know what direction to go in life. Have you ever been at some crossroads in your life and you're not too sure if you should turn right or left? Well, always go right. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But the Holy Spirit will direct you, and if we learn to lean on him. And sometimes we're dealing with temptations of the flesh. Anybody ever get tempted in the flesh out here? Oh, no, are you all? I see halos over everyone. You guys never get tempted. We get tempted at times, don't we? And so we do get tempted. We are in the flesh. We get tempted, and we're flesh and blood. But the power of the Holy Spirit can help us overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. And I don't know about you, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Amen. And so today's title of my message is Holy Spirit Power. Somebody say Holy Spirit, Power. And that's God. And God's plan for every believer, I believe, is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to experience the power of God in their lives every day. Amen. And I want to experience that power. Amen. You know, a lot of times we just go by knowledge, and knowledge is good just to know something, but what's even better is to experience something. Amen. It's good to know something, but it's better to experience something. Amen. And so my question to you, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you received the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my question to you. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 19 was asking that same question to some disciples. And this is interesting because the Apostle Paul must have felt that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was important in the book of Acts in chapter 19. And in chapter 19 it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" And this is what Paul, the first question Paul says to these believers, did they receive the Holy Spirit? That's funny that he would say that, ask that. And he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And so they said to him, "We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And now the men were about 12 in all. So Paul comes to some believers, and they don't know anything, or they're not aware that the Holy Spirit is in operation, and the Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. Somebody say signs, wonders, and miracles. And God wants to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, Pastor, you're going a little too far. Amen. Now, God wants us to see miracles in our lives. Do you believe that today? God can do miracles. He can turn anything around. Just believe God. Do you believe that? And I really believe this, that nobody is stuck. That the Holy Spirit can unstuck you. Amen. In other words, the Holy Spirit is our breakthrough. Yes. So you don't have to be stuck today. You don't have to be stuck in debt. You don't have to be stuck in sickness. You don't have to be stuck in a bad relationship. God can renew all those things and more. Do you believe that today? So my goal today is to encourage you to desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that you can walk in the power of God every day of your lives. Amen? And so how many people in this room wants to go to the next level? How many people would like to go to the next level in this room? I want to go to the next level. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit will do that. My question to you today, is the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life? Is it working? Are you realizing that God is working in your life? And I love that. So let's look at what Jesus had to say to his disciples. And Jesus, when he was resurrected from the grave on the third day, Jesus hung out for 40 days. I don't know if you were aware of that. Before he went to heaven, he hung out and he ministered a little bit to the disciples and to people. And in Acts 1, 4, and 8, he says this to them before he goes to heaven. He says in Acts 1, 4 through 8, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So here, Jesus is saying, listen, he's saying, don't go out, don't go witnessing, don't try to do the ministry without the power. He's saying, I want you to stay in Jerusalem, and I want to empower you before you go out. That's powerful. In other words, God wants to equip us before we go out. And then Jesus talks about that John baptized with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's through the Gospels. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Jesus' baptism on us. Amen. And verse 6 says, "Therefore, when they had come together," he just spoke this to them, "and they had come together and they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put his own authority.'" So they just kind of like, "Lord, can you just set everything up now? Do we have to do anything? Do we have to wait for this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit power to hit us? Do we have to do some work?" Listen, God put us down here to do some work.
Amen.
Amen. We're here to do good works for the Lord. You believe that today? And so they flipped the script. They say, hey, when are you going to set up the kingdom? And then he said, hey, God's going to do it in his timing. And then verse 8, he says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, in Virginia Beach, in Portsmouth, in Norfolk, in Hampton Roads, and the ends of the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're supposed to be a witness? Look at your neighbor and say, you're called to be a witness. Amen. And I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witness. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus' Witness. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God will empower you to be a witness. Amen. There was a time where I was nervous to even, I remember one guy was fired up for Jesus. And he said, you want to go to hospitals and pray for the sick? And I said, no. And I was a little nervous about praying for the sick. I'd never done it before. This was way before I became a minister. I was sitting in your seat, just receiving. And he said, you want to go to the hospital? And I said, no, And I was a little nervous about that. But once I started learning about my rights in God and I got the Holy Spirit, and now, I go to hospitals and I clear them out. No, not really, but I pray for the sick and I see God move. Amen? Amen. And God can move on your prayers. Virginia's a nurse and she takes care of sick people. And she prays for her people. Thank God they have a Christian nurse that works with them, that believes the Bible. And some of these people, I think, are living because Virginia is standing in faith and praying for them. Glory to God. Your faith can make a difference for people around you. Do you believe that today? I'm telling you, I'd rather have a Holy Ghost, Word taught, Holy Spirit filled nurse working with me than some atheist nurse. Amen. Because I may not be living too much longer. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is so good. So Jesus is saying to disciples that God is going to pour out the power of the Holy Spirit on them as they wait in Jerusalem to receive the power on high so they can affect people all around. You're called to affect people. I'm going to say this again. You're called to affect people with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I'm going to say this. The power of the Holy Ghost, some churches will teach, well, this was a dispensation. That's a big word, dispensation. That means this is a time, back then, that was a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not working the same today as he did 2,000 years ago. My Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God did yesterday, God is doing today. And God needs to do it even more today. Why? Because in the last days, it's getting more evil. And so if it's getting more evil in the last days, how much more do we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives? We need the power. Amen. I need the power, glory to God. And so I love that. So the Holy Spirit is not just for that dispensation of the church just starting. No, we need the power at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end until Jesus comes back. Because Jesus is coming back not for a broken down, busted, and disgusted church. I would say that again. Jesus is not coming back for a broken down, busted, and disgusted church. He's coming back for a victorious church. Right. Without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Full of love and faith. Amen. Doing the works of Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I'm telling you, when Jesus comes back, we are all going to be walking victorious in Christ. We're not going to be backslidden, lukewarm Christians. No, we're going to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. We're going up in the rapture. We're going up because we're fired up. Amen. We're keeping our oil filled. So in Acts 1, 12 and 14, it says this. This is interesting because people went to the upper room and some may say, well, was it just the 12 disciples, the apostles of the Lamb that Jesus spoke to? Weren't they the only ones that were filled with the Spirit of God? No, there were more people that was filled with the Spirit of God in the upper room. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, and which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, these all continue in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we see here there were some more people than just the 12 apostles of the Lamb. In other words, God wants everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at this morning and let's look at what happened because, you know, think about this. They don't know really how the promise is going to work out. All they know is Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They don't know what's going to happen. They're just praying, coming together, and it took 10 days. 10 days for them to get in unity. Amen? 10 days. And in 10 days, it was the 10th day. And 10 sometimes stands for test. Amen? The 10 means test at times. And so I'm going to say this. You got to stay in it until you win it. You just can't give up on the 9th day. You can't give up on the 8th day. You got to keep pressing in until the power comes. And so here, it says here, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were all in one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. Notice it says that they were all filled. It didn't just say, well, the apostles were filled and everybody else watched. It didn't say that. It said they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they got a heavenly language. Glory to God. They got a spiritual language. And God wants to give you a spiritual language. He wants to give you a heavenly language that will help you in your worship with God, in your prayer time with God, will help you in so many different areas. And He wants you to be endued with power from on high. Amen? God desires each one of us to walk in that power, to have the power of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit give utterance. And the gift of the Heavenly Spirit language will help us in every area of our lives. Amen? And I love that. Now this is interesting about the gift of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when somebody receives Christ, God will give them the baptism right then. And I don't know why, but God does it any way He wants to do it. And so sometimes that God will drop the power on somebody when they receive Jesus, and they will start speaking in an unknown language, and they will get baptized. I wish it was like that for me when I got saved. I had to seek God for it. Amen? I didn't get automatically get baptized. Now, I remember when I got saved, it was on a Sunday night, and I was standing in line. There were a lot of people that got saved that day, that night. And I was in line, waiting in line to get water baptized in the tank. And I was in line with people. So I don't know, there was people in front of me. And I remember them going down and coming up and speaking another language. Of course, I didn't think anything of it because I was a little nervous about myself going down. And I didn't know really what to expect. Because, you know, I'm getting water baptized. I just got Jesus in my life Sunday night. You know, I just came out of the world, you know. And I'm thinking this must be the initiation, you know. This is what you do to get more of God. And I didn't know anything about it. But when I got water baptized, I didn't get that baptism, but I got baptized in God's love. So I had God's love flood over me. And I felt the love of God swirl around me, and I felt like I was a brand new person. And I felt brand new, like a new creation in Christ, which was pretty good. I mean, I was thankful for that. And but I'm going to say this. Some people just, the Holy Spirit will drop on them. Like in Acts 2, 38 and 39, it says, Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized. He's ministering in a house meeting, and he's ministering. And he's preaching about Jesus. And he said, and Peter said to him, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the Holy Spirit for the promise for you and your children and for those that are far off. Glory to God. So he was ministering to Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit dropped, and it dropped on them. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, it's not just for them, it's for us. Glory to God. Amen. And in Acts 2:38, praise God, it says here that Peter, when he was ministering to the crowd, the Holy Spirit gave him boldness. And I'm going to say this, a lot of us, we lack boldness in our walk with Christ. A lot of us are nervous about witnessing for the Lord. Have you ever lacked boldness? But Peter and the apostles, they were nervous before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But once the baptism came, Peter got bold. And he preached in front of 3,000 people. And he told them to repent, every one of them, for the remission of sins. And he said for the Holy Spirit to be upon them that they could receive it. Amen? And he says here, and Peter said to him, Acts 2:38 and 39, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for this promise for you and your children and those who are far off. So when people that say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was just for those people back then, Peter's saying it's for us and our children and for those that are far off. And we are far off from 2,000 years ago. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for them, it's for us and our children, and it's a gift that God wants to give to us. And so in Acts 2:38, he says, first, repent. Now, some of us, you know, I don't know, some of us have some weird thinking, or some of us are a little nervous about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't, you know, we haven't studied it, so we don't know about it, and we don't know if we should have it or not. And so what Peter says, once you get the revelation that God wants you to have it, you need to repent. What does repent mean? It means to change the way you think. Don't change, in other words, don't think the old way, think a new way. And it means to change and move towards God. Repentance means that you're moving towards God in your thinking. So in this message, you need to move towards God in this idea that God wants you baptized. Amen. And then he says, be water baptized. And we know about water baptism, and you need to get water baptized. If you like to get water baptized, we do have water baptisms that we use the Baptist church down the street, and you can sign up for it. We'll get a sheet out there and we'll get you water baptized. Amen. How many people would like to get water baptized? Glory to God. All of you. Amen. Have been water baptized. Glory to God. And it says here, the gift will be poured out. So once you repent, You're water baptized, and you're being in obedience with God, then the gift will be poured out. So the baptism is a supernatural baptism, glory to God. And so it's a supernatural language that you can speak, amen? And God wants us all to have it, amen? But in some cases, you're gonna have to desire it. Because in Acts, Peter prayed, and the Bible said that the people in that house meeting got the baptism of the Holy Spirit without asking for it. And so, but there are cases where you're going to have to ask for it. And why don't people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever thought about that? Well, number one, they don't because they don't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They haven't been taught. They went to a church that never taught it or talked about it. Amen. So they don't know. And if you're ignorant and you don't know, you cannot partake. Some people don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of receiving the gift because they may feel God might require more of them. Well, if I get more of God, God's going to want more of me. Well, you know, if God gets more of you, you're going to have more good. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If God gets more of you, you say, well, I don't want God. You know, I don't want to get too close to God because he might send me to Africa. Amen. Well, you know, just follow God and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. And he will, and he will, and he will, you know, I never thought that I would ever enjoy pastoring. You know, I wanted to be an evangelist, blow in, blow up, and blow out, and let the pastors clean the mess up after I'm done preaching. And so, but you know what? I love ministering. I love pastoring. Glory to God. I love you people. Glory to God. And God knows what he's doing. He has a calling on each one of your lives. You just stay in it. You keep praying, seeking the Lord, and he will put you in that place called there. Do you believe that? And that place called there is that sweet spot. Have you ever heard that before? The sweet spot. And you can be in that sweet spot in Christ. Amen. And where everything tastes good. Glory to God. Amen. The Bible says, taste and see that I am good. So you just need to taste and see that God is good. And so Christians don't ask, because some Christians don't ask to have the Holy Spirit because they've been living without the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they think that they're okay. Well, I've been living this long saved. Why do I need it? You need it because you need more power. And some believers feel that it's just a special gift just for the man on the platform or just for special people that are on the platform. That the power of God is only for the preachers. Hey, I'm going to give you a clue. You are preachers too. You're called to be a witness too. You're called to preach too. Hallelujah. So before I became a preacher up here, I was a preacher out there. Do you know that? I would witness and talk to people about the Lord. And I would always, God was always sending me Christians. And I was always witnessing and talking about the Lord, talking about the Word. And pretty soon God said, I need you up on the platform. Glory to God. And so God can do the same. Now, not everybody he's calling to be on the platform, but he is calling everybody to say something. Amen. Do you believe that today? He's calling people to have voices in the last days. We're supposed to have a voice and not be an echo. Amen. Glory to God. And I love that. So I love this. So don't be afraid to ask God for the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1:13, it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's powerful. So Jesus is talking here in Luke. He's saying if God's a good God, and if God's a good God, he's not going to give you something bad if you ask him for something good. That makes sense, doesn't it? And it says here that how much more would the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's a great scripture pertaining to asking God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now let's look at some other scriptures and important scriptures that will help fortify our faith in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how important it is. Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Philip, they call him Philip the Evangelist. And he went down to Samaria to minister to people in that city. And it says in Acts 8:5, it says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoke by Philip, hearing and seeing miracles. Somebody say miracles. Miracles. Because I believe God wants you doing some miracles. Say amen on that. And it says, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoke by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Powerful. So Philip is doing some great works. He's working in miracles. He's getting these people saved. He's walking in the power. Somebody say, I need the power. And I'm telling you, God wants us walking in the power of God. And when you walk in the power of God, you will set people free. Amen. And you will even set yourself free. Amen. Do you believe that? Some of us might need to get ourselves set free. Amen? Amen. And the Holy Spirit will set you free. From whom the Son is set free is free indeed. You believe that today? He wants us free today. Amen? And I love this. And so Philip preached, and then the apostles heard about the people in Samaria getting saved. And it says, look at this in Acts 8:14. This is powerful. It says, and when the apostles were at Jerusalem and heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were water baptized. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Notice this. This is interesting. Not everyone has all the gifts of the power of God working in their lives. You know, Philip had the gifts of working of miracles, but he wasn't gifted to pray for them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God didn't work it through Philip. He worked it through the other apostles. And so the other apostles, Peter and John, went down. And the Bible says they went, these people were already saved. They were already water baptized. They were already delivered from some demons. But they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so so the apostles felt it must have been important for them to go down and get them filled. Why? Because the devil's out here. And he's trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he's trying to knock you down. And he knows if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, the weaknesses of the flesh is going to take you down. The things of this world is going to take you down. And you need the power. Somebody said, I need the power. And so this is an important place in my message today that they had the power. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons this morning why you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You could say baptism benefits. Somebody say baptism benefits. Do you know there's some benefits being filled with the Holy Spirit? They're powerful. Number one, it's a supernatural sign to us and others that God's word is true. Amen. Sometimes we will have weaknesses of the flesh. We may fall in sin as Christians. And sometimes we get condemned and the devil's condemning us. And the devil starts saying, you're not really a Christian. You're not really saved. But you confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But you don't feel saved. Have you ever felt like you didn't feel saved? But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a supernatural sign that reveals to you and others that you are saved. Because you can access the power of the Holy Spirit and pray. It's the only gift that God gives us that we can use at our own will. And so we can pray, and that can remind us, wait a second, I am saved. But not only that, it will start to empower us, and God will start revealing truth to us that he loves us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I need God telling me that he loves me. Amen. Amen. And so in Mark 16:15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. Notice that? This is something that God wants us. It's not saying that you're not going to curse anymore. You know, I'm speaking nicer words. No, it's a special language that God gives you. Glory to God. Number two, the gift of tongues is for spiritual edification. I don't know about you. Edification means to be built up. I don't know about you, but I need to be built up. You know, I don't know. I used to watch a lot of cartoons when I was a kid. Two of my cartoons that I loved, one was Underdog. And I don't know if you ever watched Underdog or not. He was a supernatural dog. And the bad guys would come, and he would have a little ring where he'd take a little pill out, and he would swallow it, and he would become Underdog, and he could fight, he could take out. And then, Popeye. And Popeye, I really love Popeye. He would be getting beat up by Bluto or Brutus, depending on the segment you're watching. Bluto or Brutus, right? And he would be getting beat up. And then he would have to reach down in his shirt and pull out that spinach. Right? Remember that? Anybody ever used that? Popeye was one of my favorites. And so he would take that can and squeeze it and eat his spinach, and pretty soon he would have guns. You know, he would have ships shooting off on his biceps, glory to God. Anybody remember that? And so I'm going to say this. I like Popeye. I like that. Strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. But anyway, the power of the Holy Spirit can do the same thing. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it will build yourself up and it will cause you to be able to overcome the weaknesses and the attacks of the devil. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. This is I want to segment in this and say this. Some of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're not praying in the Holy Spirit as much as you need to. And I want to encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost as often as you can to build yourself up. Number three, the gift of tongues is a supernatural prayer language that will help you pray when you don't know how to pray. Amen? It will help you pray out the gifts and the callings of God. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries. So here, praying the Holy Ghost is actually speaking to God his language, and God is giving you a supernatural language. And what God will do, it's mysteries, not to God, but to us. But the Bible also says, ask God to give you the gift of interpretation, and God will give you interpretation of your words, and he will show you what you're speaking out at times. Amen. That's powerful. That's supernatural. And I remember that I was at church. I was in Oklahoma, just graduated from Bible school. And I was praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, and praying. And all of a sudden, I started speaking English. Go help Pastor Joe. That one came out. And you guys heard this before. But, you know, I had no clue in my head that I was going back to Virginia Beach to help Pastor Joe. That was the furthest thing that I was going to do. I was going to set up ministry in Oklahoma. I was going to have a ministry in Oklahoma, be a traveling minister. But then he says, go help Pastor. I said, what? You know, and I was like, what, God? And go help Pastor Joe. And that came out. My tongues turned into English and turned into a phrase. And then God confirmed it through other people. So because I at first I said, well, maybe the devil can talk through me too, you know, especially when you don't want to do what God's calling you to do. But it was good that God called me back to Virginia Beach because that was God's plan. Amen. And so God's plan. And so sometimes we don't know the plan of God. Sometimes we're running on our own plan. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God can direct us and will help us praying. Tongues can remind us of the Spirit indwelling presence. And we need to be reminded of that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And 2 Peter says, by which we have been given exceedingly great, 2 Peter 1:4, great and precious promises that through these would be partakers of the divine nature. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you know that you're a supernatural being. Amen. You're just not a normal person. You're just not a natural person. You're a supernatural person. You got God on the inside of you. You got the power of God working on you. You're not just a natural person. You're a supernatural person going somewhere to happen. Amen. Somebody say, I believe that. And the gift of tongues utilizes us in praying God's perfect will. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for us. So the God can help us pray out miracles for our families. Do you believe that today? Miracles for you. He can help us pray these things out. God wants to help us pray. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
And I believe that today. Amen. There was a story of a man that was a businessman. He was under David Youngie Cho's ministry in Korea. And he had all this money that he had. He had a business, and he had to pay his workers. And he put all this money for the payroll in a safe. And his butler stole all the money. That was a good butler, wasn't it? Pastor David Youngie Cho, and said, "All my money's gone. I can't pay my workers." And he's white. He's scared. And he said, "I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray." And so David Youngie Cho said, "Let's go to Prayer Mountain." Amen. I'm thinking about making Mount Trashmore Prayer Mountain for Exceed Life. And they have a prayer mountain over there where people go up and pray for God, seek God, seek his face. And so he said, and Paul Youngie said, "Let's pray in the Spirit all day." And so they did. They prayed in the Holy Ghost. And then in the middle of the day, they got a call from the butler. The butler got in touch with them and wants to give the money back. And the butler, and he finally talked to the butler. And he said, "Every time I tried to spend the money, I felt like I was going to die. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack." He said, this money is spiritual money. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that you don't know how to pray as you ought, but you can pray. And when you pray in this unknown language, God is saying, "Put the fear of God on that man." Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And that man returned that money. Not only did he return the money, but he got saved and he became a lay preacher in the church. Think about that. What am I saying? I'm saying we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we just, you know, we're just trying to pray the best, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost working. Praying in tongues stimulates our faith. It says, "Beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God." Sometimes we are stressed out. And when you're stressed out, it's easy to be angry and mad. Is that right? It's hard to walk in love when you're stressed out. Have you ever been stressed out? It's hard to walk in love when you're stressed out. It's easy to get, you walk in anger and dissension and all that. But praying in the Spirit will help you walk in love. It keeps you in the love of God. It brings the peace. And if you got peace, it's easy for you to walk in love. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? Praying in tongues is a spiritual refreshing. It says in Isaiah 28, "For a stammering lip and another tongue, he will speak to his people." And he said, "This is a rest which you will cause the weary to rest." So praying in tongues will help you stay in peace. Praying in tongues will aid you in worship to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, it said, "For I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So you can sing in the Spirit of God. Amen? And praying in tongues brings the tongue under subjection. Have you ever said things you wish you didn't say? Have you ever said things out of your mouth that you wish you could take back? Well, you can in a way by repenting. Amen. You can pull up that bad seed that you sowed by asking God's forgiveness and renouncing the bad things that you say. Amen. And sometimes we need, see, the Bible says that no, in James 3:8, no man can tame the tongue. But I'm going to say this, the Holy Spirit can. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to start controlling your tongue through praying in the Spirit, you will start speaking right things from this day forward. So I want to encourage you today that to desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, these are some keys to you receive. You must first desire the gift. You must ask God for the gift. And then you may need a believer to lay hands on you, like the apostles laid hands on the people in Samaria. And I'm a believer, and I'd be glad to pray for you today. If you want to have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll pray after we receive tithes and offerings. You can come up, and I believe that God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I will lay hands on you, and you can receive today. Amen? And you can go through this life with a greater power to walk victorious in every area of your life. And God wants you empowered. And God wants you blessed. And God wants you making a difference, not just in your life, but in the life of all the people around you. And when you're walking in Holy Spirit power, you'll be a world changer. And I believe God is raising up world changers in Exceed Life Church. And I believe that he wants to baptize you so you can have the power to do the impossible in every area of your lives. Do you believe that today? At this time, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness. I thank you for those that are in the audience, those that are watching. Perhaps you've never made the decision first and foremost for Jesus Christ. Before you can receive the power, you must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may not have another opportunity. So I want to invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And by receiving Jesus, God can baptize you with His power. So if you're ready to receive Jesus today, just say this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead to save me. Heavenly Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit with power. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with us. If you're here local in the area, we'd love for you to be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not in the area, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ. And stay connected with us so you can stay strong in your faith and learn more about the goodness of God. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.